Welcome back into another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. It is Monday, February 5th. I am Steven Serta, kicking off our week of Super Bowl coverage ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs and their Super Bowl rematch against the San Francisco 49ers. And we already had to call an audible on Super Bowl week on the first day. So I don't know if that's a sign of things to come, but we'll figure it out. We had to adjust because of some travel issues as Pete Sweeney's now on the ground in Vegas, I believe. But instead of Pete joining me this afternoon and not morning time, it is the executive editor of Arrowhead Pride, John Dixon. John, how are we doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. It is fun to come in and do something on the spur of the moment in a situation like this. But it's also very exciting to be covering the Chiefs for their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. So I'm all in for it.
I was talking to Pete about this last week, John, and it's crazy. And I even talked to Kevin Harlan about this a couple of weeks ago, hoping to have him back this week ahead of the Super Bowl for you guys here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. But it's crazy how fast it flies. You know, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago that it was 2018 and Patrick Mahomes was kind of taking the NFL by storm. And now all of a sudden the Chiefs are just in another Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers again. And one of your latest articles on Arrowhead Pride, which I encourage you to go check out, it is about the Chiefs playoff run this year and how if they win the Super Bowl, they will have completed one of the toughest postseason runs in NFL history, according to DVOA, which is one of the better metrics out there, John, for just kind of measuring success across the league.
Well, this is kind of interesting to me because it had occurred to me in recent days, just based on the playoff seeding, that this was a really tough road the Chiefs had run to get to the Super Bowl. And just, you know, because the Chiefs as the third seed played the fourth seed at home, and then they beat the second seed and then the first seed of the playoffs on the road. And I thought, well, that's pretty hard. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. Well, it turns out that it's been done a number of times. A number of times teams have played four games to get to and win a Super Bowl. And Aaron Schatz, who used to be with Football Outsiders, where he developed the DVOA statistic, put up a graphic on X, formerly known as Twitter, saying that the Chiefs, if winning the Super Bowl, would have the most difficult road to a championship based on DVOA, going back to the beginning of that statistic, which is 1985. The interesting thing about this is that the team that is second place on this list of DVOA schedule difficulty is the 2007 New York Giants. And that's the team that beat the 18-0 New England Patriots to win that Super Bowl with Steve Spagnuolo as the defensive coordinator. So this could be a very interesting thing if the Chiefs are able to pull off this win. Of course, they're 2-point underdogs at this point, so they're not favored to win. But if they do, it's going to be a piece of NFL history we're winning this week.
You mentioned those Giants teams, and I was trying to think of like other like wild card teams that have gone on runs in the postseason. And obviously, the Chiefs aren't a wild card team, but still, it's impressive, especially in a year that down year for Kansas City Chiefs. Like it's the Bills' year to go win it. It's the Ravens' year to go win it, and the Chiefs are just
yeah.
All over again. I hope they accomplish that, and I want to get your take on this, John, because I also want to give you guys an update. So we're kind of just vibing and flowing and taking the turns as they come throughout Super Bowl week. So our plan, no Arrowhead Pride editor show today. We're doing this report kind of as a placeholder for it. Hopefully we'll have one after the Super Bowl, but travel plans may conflict with that too. So we'll figure all that stuff out. We'll hopefully have answers for you guys later on in the week, so you get all the content that you know and love here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. But as we've had a week to kind of sit back and chill, and maybe you spent your weekend like I did, John, where I did not consume football in any way this weekend because I knew it was going to be a long week of Super Bowl coverage. So I read a lot this weekend. I took some naps, made dinner, cleaned the house, like did laundry, like tried to stay as far away from football as possible. But how are we feeling as we're getting ready to kick off Super Bowl week?
Well, if you're asking me if I'm feeling that the Chiefs can win, I've always felt like the Chiefs could win. I actually think this is a game that could go either way at this point. I can't really define a team that I could really give the edge to. Naturally, I'm always going to be inclined to believe that Patrick Mahomes can win the game. That's served me well in my last two predictions in the postseason. And that's probably the way I'll end up leaning. But if you look at it just strictly on paper, I don't know how anybody could really reasonably pick one of these teams to be a clear-cut favorite to win this game. It's just, it's, and that's, of course, means that the odds are good that it'll be a very interesting game and an exciting game. So it should be a really fun one to watch, however it plays out.
Yeah, Chiefs are currently a 2-point underdog, according to the DraftKings Sportsbook. And I agree with you. I think what the Chiefs have done in the playoffs has made me a little bit more confident in them going up against a team like San Francisco. But then it's like San Francisco, when you start just rattling off their stars, and it's like, man, they have so many of these. Of these just like alien, there's no other guy in the NFL like that guy, like on their team. They've just got so many of those guys and playmakers across the board. But it's going to be a tough test for the Kansas City Chiefs. And over the weekend, they did designate running back Jerick McKinnon to return from injured reserve. So I'm curious your thoughts on this, John. Obviously, I was kind of surprised because I didn't think McKinnon was going to be available the rest of the way for the Chiefs. And like this kind of move ahead of the Super Bowl kind of makes you think that they expect him to be able to suit up, but we'll probably know more later on in the week when they actually have to make those game designations.
Right. I think that's going to be the key to it, is see what happens on Wednesday when the first injury report comes out. That'll tell us a lot more than they've told us about this so far, which is almost nothing. But, you know, I think it's important to note that they didn't really tell us a whole lot about the extent of his injury before he went on injured reserve. I think, in fact, if I remember correctly, we only knew that he'd had surgery because he posted something about it on X, showing him in the hospital bed. You know, it's not like the Chiefs gave us a rundown of exactly what the surgery was going to be for and who was performing it and where it was, because they never do that. You know, we should be accustomed to this by now. The Chiefs don't give us very many details about these kinds of things. So while we all thought, I agree, I thought we wouldn't see McKinnon for the rest of the season. So it was surprising to me that he was designated to return. It's possible the Chiefs are playing with the 49ers' minds, trying to get them to prepare for a player that isn't going to be available after all. But I don't know that it would really give you that much advantage to force them to prepare for McKinnon. When, you know, what is it that McKinnon can do that nobody else can do other than play a little bit better? You know, I just don't know if I buy that thing. To me, it's more likely that they think there's a chance he could be ready to play, and they're just opening up that possibility just in case it plays out.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I feel about it, because it's like, if you don't activate him ahead of the Super Bowl, well, then he's not available. So it's like just giving us the chance to possibly activate him. And, you know, I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has done decent kind of filling in and is that change of pace guy stepping in and playing behind Isaiah Pacheco. And if they do activate him, I mean, hopefully they dial some things up for him. But what I can say that I feel strongly about is that I don't want him taking snaps away from Isaiah Pacheco with how productive he's been in the postseason. The snaps need to come from Clyde, unfortunately.
Right.
It's I think we've seen Pacheco become such a big part of the offense down the stretch that I don't want the Chiefs to. And it's kind of how I feel about Kadarius Toney or like Sky Moore at this point. Like, you really got something in the playoffs with Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, and the way everybody else is kind of sprinkling into the mix. I just don't want them to mess with it. I know Dave Tope said last week that, you know, Kadarius Toney might be involved in the return game and there's a chance he can play. And he's off the injury report now after last few weeks of speculation and Instagram posts and whatever that were hard to verify and all of that stuff. But at this point, I just don't want to mess up the rotation, like, because the biggest thing for me, John, is that they haven't been suffering all of the mistakes that they were early in the season.
Right.
And I want to continue to minimize those. And it feels like bringing guys into the mix who are a big part of the problem early in the year, is that the way you want to do things ahead of the Super Bowl?
Well, I think that's fair. And I agree with you that the biggest difference between the Chiefs during the regular season and the Chiefs in the postseason is the lack of mistakes. You know, I many times on the editor show this year, I pointed out that the fantastic Patrick Mahomes, and we love him to death, you know, and he's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. He's still the greatest quarterback that he ever lived, but he hasn't had a great season in terms of mistakes. He's thrown some interceptions he would have liked to have had back that made differences in games, in many cases, the difference between winning and losing games. But those mistakes have not occurred in the postseason, and the Chiefs have won these games. I think that that's going to be the biggest factor in the Chiefs winning this game. Can we get through the game without Mahomes giving up a pick? Can we get through the game without a bunch of penalties on the offensive line that kill drives? That's been another issue in the games the Chiefs have lost this year. So, you know, I agree that it's just about the mistakes that's been the biggest difference.
And it seems unlikely that guard Joe Tooney is going to be available for the mm-hmm. Chiefs in the Super Bowl, at least according to reports. Now, they haven't officially ruled him out or anything because they're still optimistic that there's a chance he's going to play. But Nick Allegretti was good filling in for him in the AFC Championship game. And you mentioned the holding penalties, and you know, they had some penalties in the AFC Championship game along the offensive line. And we all know that penalty that Trey Smith was called for that nullified a Rashee Rice touchdown. But overall, the offensive line has really kind of shored things up. And Nick Allegretti, obviously, is a player that they have a lot of trust in and that they think can fill in for Joe Tooney if necessary, like he did in the AFC Championship game, and be totally fine. But I think that's the biggest thing, too, against the San Francisco 49ers team is you have to minimize the mistakes against them, because what makes them such a difficult matchup for the Chiefs is, like, when you give them short fields, they tend to capitalize on them and they find mm-hmm. ways to score touchdowns, yep. especially if they have all these guys that are insane athletes. Like, you know, you miss one tackle or you give them better field position and it's a 50-yard touchdown or something like that.
Right. Well, that's going to be the issue. And the reason that San Francisco is favored in this game is the public sees that. The public sees these big names on the roster of the 49ers, and they know that the Chiefs haven't been fully themselves on offense this season, at least to the untrained eye. And again, you know, it's the difference between somebody who follows the team very carefully and the difference of between compared to somebody who just sees the score at the end of the game. It looks like the Chiefs have fallen off a cliff this year, and that's not necessarily true. And we also can see that the defense has been fantastic, and that's generally not easy to see from looking at the box score. So, and that's why I think the Chiefs have an excellent chance to win this game, because I think that they will be able to do things to that terrific San Francisco offense that nobody has really seen them and nobody has done to them this year. And so I think that puts a whole different look at how the Super Bowl could end up playing out.
I will say, and this is my last thing on the Chiefs offense, but it does feel like they've got an explosion game on the way. Or there's only one game left to play. So it's like, there's only one opportunity for them to do it. But it kind of felt like they came out of the gates in the AFC Championship game and, you know, back-to-back scoring drives to start things off. And it was like, oh, it's this kind of Chiefs performance. And then obviously there wasn't much scoring the rest of the way. But I do think that the 49ers defense has kind of shown some wear and tear over the postseason. And hopefully the Chiefs can find a way to exploit that. And this is really the last thing before we get out of here, John, but obviously the Chiefs aren't going to have Charles Omenihu, who tore his ACL, and Steve Spagnuolo talked about that last week and just talked about, like, you know, we can't really replace him and what he was doing. And a guy that size, like, you just don't have bodies to throw in and replace somebody the size of Charles Omenihu, and who has had the impact that he has had for the Chiefs down the stretch and in the playoffs. But Felix Anudike Uzama is expected to step in and have some opportunities in the Super Bowl to try to make plays. And at this point, I buy into everything that Steve Spagnuolo says, because I think he's one of the most honest coaches on the staff when we hear right. from him every week. And mm-hmm. and everything that he's done with the Chiefs pass rush and their defense as a whole. Like it's one area where you hate to see any kinds of injuries, but you at least feel like, well, that's what he was drafted for. And that's what the depth there is for. So hopefully he can step in and make some plays.
Well, you know, when we talked about this on the editors, the last editor's show, I mentioned that both Malik Herring and Onyedike Uzomah had pretty much split the available snaps while Omenihu was out for the first six games of the season. And the defense played very well in those games, too, although not quite as well as they played later in the season in terms of preventing scores. But, you know, he wasn't fantastic, but he also was on the field for like less than a third of the plays and put up some numbers while doing that. And of course, you know, Omenihu was hurt in the first quarter of the game. Actually, I think it was right as the second quarter began, now that I think about that for a second. So we missed three quarters of the game, and the Chiefs still only allowed 10 points to a very good offense. So, you know, even when they had to do it on the fly, they were able to cover for Omenihu pretty well, and they'll have more tools available to them. Because in this game, they will have the option to have Onyedike Uzomah active, and he was inactive for the game in Baltimore. So, you know, yes, it's a problem. The guy has been a tremendous player for the Chiefs this season, has made some big plays that have been very exciting to see. But, you know, this is also a really deep team, and they've done very well when players have been injured, and I think that will continue through the Super Bowl.
I still think there's some matchups they can win along that 49ers offensive line.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Trent Williams, has not been particularly great this season. So I'm not too worried about the Chiefs defense minus Charles Omenihu. I think they have the bodies, and it's like, you know, I don't know what Felix Onyedike Uzomah is going to wind up being in the future for the Chiefs when he gets an expanded role in this defense. But for right now, they just need him situationally. Just get him right in. Hopefully he makes a few plays. And then we're all talking about another Super Bowl win for the Kansas City Chiefs. So make sure you stay locked in right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. We got everything you need to know. We got coverage all week long. Hopefully have some good guests for you. We got tons of stuff. So as always, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. Make sure you stay locked into arrowheadpride.com. We'll have everything you need to know right there. Super accessible. All the media, all the injury updates, everything you need to know ahead of a long Super Bowl week. And you can follow John on Twitter at @arrowheadphones. I'm Stephen Sirs. You can find me. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow on the next episode of the Out of Structure Podcast.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. It's obviously an exciting time as the Chiefs enter this season looking to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champs in nearly 20 years. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. In the offseason, the party won't stop. We'll still be covering the biggest stories, and all the offseason's twists and turns will show up in your inbox on a regular basis. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.